Welcome to the Razor's Ink podcast with your host, Jonathan Farini. With the Academy Awards coming up this weekend, it's not Jonathan's style to simply run down this year's nominees or predict the winners. Rather, today's edition has Jonathan's takes on the state of Hollywood yesterday and today. However, Jonathan's Oscars podcast from last year also represents one of the earliest collaborations between me and Jonathan a little over 1 year ago. So before we get into this year's Oscars-themed podcast, pour yourself a drink, pull up a chair, and hear some of Jonathan's takes on the Oscars from last year's podcast. Here's your host, Jonathan Farini.
Hello, I want to talk to you about the Academy Awards. I'm going to give you my take on what I think it is, what I think it isn't. We're going to examine some films where Hollywood's had an opportunity to hold a mirror up to itself. I am not a member of the Academy. I can tell you that it is an exclusive club. It's a fraternity. And it's been my experience that those members, when they vote, they're really voting based upon artistic merit versus commercial merit. I really do believe that. In my opinion, I would rather have an Academy Award than a Nobel Prize. Back in the 60s and 70s, it's a tectonic shift in the amount of talent producing, directing, and writing films that you had so many wonderful, wonderful films vying for Best Picture, Best Director, actresses. It was just a wonderful, wonderful time where you'd have multiple pictures that you saw. Now, let's ask ourselves, well, has Hollywood ever held up a mirror to itself and looked at the Academy Awards? And if so, what do we see? Let's go to 1952, Kirk Douglas, The Bad and the Beautiful. This is about a ruthless motion picture producer and how he mistreats an actress, a director, and a writer. Inside Daisy Clover, Natalie Wood and Robert Redford and Christopher Plummer, 1965. Natalie Wood, Sunset Boulevard, William Holden, Gloria Swanson, 1950. It's about a writer, William Holden, right? 1976, The Last Tycoon, F. Scott Fitzgerald, Robert De Niro. They say he was playing Irving Thalberg. We will never know. But surely, after all these decades, Hollywood have held up a movie about the Academy Awards and the importance of the Academy Awards. They did. And it was made in 65. I believe it was released in 66. And it's called The Oscar. And when this came out, it was really treated like a B movie. Joseph E. Levine produced this, wrote the check. What did Joseph E. Levine do in about 2 years? When nobody wanted to make The Graduate, because Mike Nichols was attached to it, Mike Nichols went out on a limb and casted Dustin Hoffman. Joseph E. Levine stepped up and wrote the check for The Graduate. In my estimation, it is the closest portrayal of how important an Academy Award is to an actor, actress, director, or anybody else in terms of their career. If you're one of those people that watches the Academy Awards, maybe my observations will allow you to look at it differently. As for me, you know, I gave up watching a long time ago. It seems to be more about the show than about the substance. And not every year, but you're going to stumble upon a year where that one story was told. It came out of left field, man. And it bowled everybody over. And you know something? Maybe it didn't equate to big box office, but it resonated with the Academy to the point that they wanted to honor it. And I challenge you to do this exercise because you will have hope. Because trust me, in this endeavor, it's all about hope. And you know it, and I know it. Keep that flame burning, Hollywood. Keep that flame burning, Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts and Sciences. Because at the end of the day, you're the flame keeper, you're the gatekeeper to keep this beautiful medium called film alive.
And to hear the entire podcast, scroll down the screen however you're listening to this podcast and look for the Razor's Ink segment from about 1 year ago titled, "And the Oscar Goes To..." And now, with his weekly take on movies, television, and today, Jonathan and the Oscars, version 2025, with a dire warning for Hollywood. Here's your host, Jonathan Farini.
The 2025 Academy Awards are upon us. I won't comment upon individual nominees, but offer up some personal takes for you. A dark cloud is hanging over Hollywood and the Academy Awards this year, in the form of dust debris from the fires and lives ravaged. It might be easy for many to scoff and say, "Well, they're all wealthy and can rebuild," or "Screw them. My sympathies are with flood and toxic spill victims who aren't wealthy and were, as some say, ignored far too long by their own federal government." You're entitled to your opinion, but I encourage you to understand pain is pain, loss is loss, and a life disrupted, including children losing their homes, schools, and toys, is a travesty regardless of your zip code. I can tell you many of those people are living in hotel rooms as much, if not more, than 100 miles away from the rubble of their beloved homes. I also want to point out the entertainment business, including television, music, and theater, is made up of legions of hardworking folks inside the guilds and unions who push, pull, carry, and drive for a living, production to production, many living, check to check, hand to mouth, existence, because a life in show business is better than any other. Just saying. A drought has descended upon Hollywood. I'm not referring to the parched fire hydrants you heard about, but a financial drought, with productions fleeing Hollywood for states and countries with better financial incentives. There's only one Hollywood, and to those of us with discerning eyes, we can always spot an out-of-state, out-of-country exterior. It's not too late, California politicians, to fill the Hollywood production pipelines with precious content again, like the reservoirs, brimming and spilling over in abundance, like the Who sang, "We don't get fooled again." If catastrophic disasters, whether environmental or financial, aren't bad enough, we have a technological phenom inside Hollywood, which is a cost-cutting device or menace, depending upon which side of the fence in Hollywood you are standing. Artificial intelligence. Grapple with the name if you choose. It's here and isn't going anywhere, and I'm concerned the negotiated firewalls protecting talent may not be formidable enough. I pray I'm wrong. I'm not a member of the Academy, but I've held a beautiful Oscar and was offered the opportunity to attend the award show back in my film school days as a stand-in. When the camera pans the auditorium, they want to show every seat filled, so when an attendee takes a bathroom or cigarette break, the stand-in gets to sit in the seat. That was the custom in decades past. It may or may not be still. I passed on the opportunity, not willing to be anybody's stand-in, regardless of how many stars I got to rub elbows with. I wonder if those vacant seats today might be filled with AI-configured images. You become an automatic member of the Academy once you're nominated for any of the awards, win or lose, or by invitation by the Board of Governors and sponsorship by two current members from your branch, like acting, directing, cinematographer, etc. Your sponsors and the Board of Governors will approve or deny your membership. I know many members whose names you wouldn't know scramble every year to consume every movie under consideration before returning their ballots, or, perhaps, simply making a selection without having seen the movie. There's always the choice of simply not voting and treating the ballot like those tedious political ballots whose names, propositions, and positions you don't know and couldn't care less about. I think a lot about that alternative. I understand the Academy has a DEI requirement for Best Picture nomination. I won't describe it here, look it up, and draw your own conclusion. I wonder if Michelangelo, Monet, Beethoven, or the pioneers of television were required to check off boxes. What would be the outcome? Draw your own conclusions. As for this year's nominees, I wish each the best of luck. Like the 2024 nominees, I see biopics, which in my opinion are low-hanging fruit.
Hello, this is Donald Trump from Mr. Cohn. Thank you so much.
Donald who?
Like a sequel or a remake of movies. It's loss mitigation for those whose money is on the line. The science of insurance actuaries. You might say, well, Jonathan, these introduce historical figures to a new generation. Yeah, but the folks I hung out with were hip to brilliant talents alive and creating before we were born and didn't require a movie. My tip every season is to watch the Best Supporting Actor and Best Supporting Actress categories, as these are where the future superstars will be revealed. I also suggest you look for the shoestring budget films and root for the underdog, because it's a well-deserved miracle those films made it into contention. See my podcast, From Shoestring Budget to String of Pearls. In light of the tragedies, both physical and financial, I do implore you to watch the show this year and help drive up the declining ratings in a show of support for Hollywood. She needs all the support she can get and deserves our love and admiration for the many hours of entertainment she's bestowed upon us since the first Academy Awards in 1929, making the Academy Awards the oldest entertainment show in the world. I'm recording this podcast just prior to the 97th Academy Awards to take place on March 2nd, 2025. I'm happy for those nominees and those tireless workers behind the scenes who will never be recognized. I'm happy for you viewers who give a damn about any of the contenders. This guy is somber because outside Rome, the hordes are massing, ready to obliterate Hollywood as we know it. Why do I care? Because I've been consuming movies since the 1960s and making films as a kid since the 70s, attending film school in the backyard of Hollywood and writing for Hollywood ever since. Why are you somber, Jonathan? They say this will be the first year the Academy Awards will be simulcast on a very well-known streaming service. And it appears the number of viewers watching via streaming will likely eclipse the television viewers. Speaking of television, the three networks have their own problems, which are the subject of future podcasts. But, as we speak, the expansion of a major television production facility operated by a network with a pedigree of influential television programming is embroiled in a NIMBY controversy over its expansion. Expansion means jobs and production remaining in Hollywood, folks. Back to film. A major Hollywood studio has inked or will soon complete a huge tax break deal for expansion into Las Vegas, and they call it Hollywood 2.0. I love Vegas. It's my second home. My master bedroom has a view of the eclipse. It's very ironic to me, the beautiful eclipse recently performed a visual montage to Los Angeles and Hollywood. A tribute, I guess. Or awake, you be the judge.
Action!
There's only one Hollywood, folks. Hollywood, California. California politicians and those who vote for them better wake up and begin courting a major employer of the world's greatest talents, in front of and behind the camera, before it's too late. By the way, if there is a Hollywood 2.0, it's Cinecittà in Rome, people. Look it up if you don't know what the hell I'm referring to.
California and California girls have always been special to me. I grew up in California and still have my home here. And I guess the feeling any family has when it's together is really the most important part of the beat of America, or any other country. It's a personal beat, one you can't tap your foot to, but one which lets you keep perfect time. Somehow, it's just there.
You see the sky. This guy's in love with you.
I love you, Hollywood.
Yes,
I grew up in your shadow, snuck onto your studio lots as a kid, and interviewed for studio jobs. No kid without a platinum nepotism card should have ever been afforded. I'm rooting for you. Break a leg, and the show must go on. Until I see you next time, please leave behind a soft footprint, maybe on the Walk of Fame, before they rip it up for one reason or another. And class is dismissed.
And as we did last year, we dedicate this podcast to the dreamers and the risk takers behind and in front of the camera. May the golden statuette go to you. You've been listening to the Razor's Ink podcast with Jonathan Farini. Be sure to check out Jonathan's collection of fiction at the Jonathan B. Farini Story Collection at jonathanfarini.com. There you'll find everything from drama to romance, something for every reader, including his thriller short story, Cone of Uncertainty, recently published by the Seattle Star. That's jonathanfarini.com, Farini with two R's, one N. Or drop an email to razorsinkpodcast@gmail.com.